Today is the third Sunday of Advent. Lessons are from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 15. Today's message is titled, Signs, Wonders, and Good News. Hear from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness, into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Saint Jerome's prayer from the 4th century. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As the 1970s came around, Andrew Lloyd Webber teamed up with Tim Rice to create a rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. Several of the songs are quite memorable. Heaven on Their Minds, Hosanna, Superstar, and of course, I Don't Know How to Love Him, which became a huge hit recording for Helen Reddy. However, for many, it's the iconic performance of I Don't Know How to Love Him by Yvonne Illiman from the movie version of Jesus Christ Superstar that comes to their mind. I share a portion, though, however, share a portion with you of Herod's song this morning, for the lyrics are fairly interesting. This is a portion of Herod's song. Jesus, I am overjoyed to meet you face to face. You have been getting quite a name all around the place. Healing cripples, raising the dead, and now I understand you're God. At least that's what you've said. So you are the Christ. You are the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you are divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need to do, and I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. Jumping down in the lyrics. So if you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ, prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. And when Jesus refused to show Herod any of these things, the lyrics followed. You're a joke. You're not the Lord. You're nothing but a fraud. Take him away. He's got nothing to say. Get out, you king of the... Get out! Get out, you king of the Jews! Get out, you king of the Jews! Get out of my life! Put on a show for me. I'll believe. Don't do what I ask. I won't believe. And I want you out of my life. How many people approach Jesus Christ in this manner? Do for me what I want. And then and only then will I believe and be yours. If you don't, get out of my life. Now, we've jumped a couple years in our gospel readings from last week to this week. Last week, Matthew chapter 3, with John in the wilderness preparing the way. Now, John the Baptizer is under arrest, and he's held in prison by Herod. John had ruffled their feathers by speaking the plain truth. This is from Matthew 14, beginning of verse 3. Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." You understand, they, King Herod Antipas and Herodias, were living together, and Herodias was Antipas's brother Philip's wife. And John was saying, "It's not lawful for you to have her." They, Herod, Antipas, and Herodias, are living in sin, and they're a terrible example for the people. So John's in prison and sends a message to Jesus to ask, and this message is written in Matthew 11, beginning of verse 2. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Many such speculation has happened around these verses as to why John would do such a thing, sending his disciples for an answer from Jesus. Did these disciples need to know? Did John begin to doubt after seeing those great wonders? Where is the great deliverance of Israel? Or was John's imprisonment causing doubts in others? Or is it a matter, like all of us, we like to be strengthened and confirmed in what we believe? Ola and Lena had been married many years. It was 7 years now. Lena was getting worried that Ola might be getting that 7-year itch. She thought he was cheating on her. So Lena says to Ola, "You never tell me you love me. Is there someone else?" Ola replies, "When we got married, what did I say?" Lena answered, "You said you loved me." Ola said, "If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." I'm Scandinavian. I can do those jokes. But Scandinavians are known to not show much emotion. And yet that daily reminder, especially for children, a daily reminder of that constant affirmation, that confirmation of, "I love you." Hearing that, "I love you," over and over, it builds up, it strengthens, it confirms what you know. And we all like to hear that, don't you? "I love you." You like to hear that from your loved ones. Not once in every lifetime, like Lena and Ola. No, you want to hear that daily. That gives you a little picture of John sending his disciples to Jesus to strengthen and confirm faith. Even though John's in prison, still, Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen, confirm the faith. Look how Jesus answers. Matthew 11, verse 4. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see." What you hear, akouo, that's the Greek, akouho, and it means to hear. But really hear, not in one ear, out the other. It's really hear. Hear in a manner that God's voice births faith within, akouo. Hear in a manner that faith is born. Such as the numerous times Jesus concludes his parable, and as our reading concluded this morning, "He who has ears, let him hear." John's disciples, hear, really hear what I am saying, so as faith is born within. Hear and see. Jesus said to the disciples, "Hear and see." See, blepo. Greek is blepo. And this means to see, to perceive. It also means to discern. Watch carefully, disciples of John. Not only see what is happening in the physical realm before your eyes, perceive and discern what is happening spiritual. The spiritual reality that is truly present right before your very eyes to see. That's blepo. So Matthew 11, verse 5. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. A couple of things here to note. First and foremost is Matthew's way of writing to connect prophecy fulfilled in Jesus, who is the Christ. Matthew's writing to Jews in a manner to show that indeed Jesus fulfills prophecy. Jesus fulfills it. So here in Matthew 11, Jesus' words, Matthew 11, verses 4 and 5, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." These words of Jesus are directly connected to Isaiah chapter 35. Here, Isaiah 35, beginning at verse 7. "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool. the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. These are all images of new life, of coming alive from the dead. Beautiful, lush, green spaces that were once lifeless, barren, desolate wasteland. For God has come to save you. Isaiah verse 4, chapter 35, verse 4 has this. He will come to save you. Isaiah 35, verse 9 states, only the redeemed will walk there. And verse 10 of Isaiah 35, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah 35 is a messianic prophecy. Isaiah 35, this is how you will be able to recognize the Messiah, the Christ. The Christ will be doing these things, and there will be great shouts of joy. Jesus is plainly speaking about himself, who he is, the Messiah. Remember, Messiah means anointed, Christ means anointed. So when I say Messiah, I mean Christ, and when I say Christ, I mean Messiah. It's the same anointed. So Jesus speaking about himself, quoting a messianic prophecy, saying, hey, look, I am your Messiah. I am the Christ. Yes, there are healing signs there. But there's something more. There's great joy there. Christ says these things and shouts of great joy. Plainly, I'm the Messiah. Yes, the healings, the signs, the wonders, they're incredible. And make a tremendous difference in the people's lives that have been healed and set free. But really see, really hear. Look beyond the physical, perceive the spiritual, and have faith in birthed in you. Jesus is saying to John's disciples, see, truly see, hear, truly hear, inwardly hear, that prophecy is being fulfilled. What does this mean in answer to your question? Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Before your very eyes, in your hearing, prophecy is fulfilled. Do you get what that means? Without stating it directly, but just as powerfully showing it, Jesus is the one to come. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. But don't miss the greater part of this prophecy being fulfilled, what is actually happening here. There is a greater part. Yes, there is a greater part. And the good news is preached to the poor. The good news is preached to the poor. That word poor in the Greek means completely lacking resources. A helpless beggar. And in terms of righteousness, in terms of holiness, before the righteous and holy God, we are completely lacking resources. We are helpless beggars lost in sin. To those that are helpless beggars, you and I, euangelizo. Euangelizo, announcing the good news, is given. The Greek word is euangelizo. Euangelizo encompasses the complete message of the good news, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven being near, that eminence, it's near, it's right here, it's near, it's right here, that wonder, and also the salvation that belongs in Jesus Christ. The salvation that will come through the redeeming grace, forgiving sins. Christ crucified and risen, paying the redeeming price in full. Christ's righteousness becoming our righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. This is much greater than physical healing. For this is bringing the soul from the realm of darkness and death into the kingdom of the Son, full of light and overflowing with eternal life. As Isaiah 35, the desert gives way to the lushness of green life. I mean, the desert becomes a swimming pool. I mean, it's wonderful. These images of new life are showing what the mission of the Messiah will be when he comes. Jesus is bringing new life. That new life possible only through forgiveness of sins. Remember the paralyzed man? A group of friends picked him up and carried him to Jesus on the mat. This event is recorded in Matthew chapter 9. Do you remember what Jesus said to the paralyzed man when Jesus saw the faith of the men carrying the mat the man was on? Jesus said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." The teachers of law that were there, they heard that. And they whispered amongst themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." And can you just get the image of indignation rising and being shaking through their body and their eyes? This man is blaspheming. From Matthew 9, we jump into Jesus' response now to those saying, "He's blaspheming." And this gives us great insight. Matthew 9, now beginning of verse 4 through the end of 8. Knowing their thoughts, that's the teachers of the law that were really upset. Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" Which is easier to say? "Your sins are forgiven," or say, "Get up and walk." "But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Jesus then turns to the paralytic and says, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. They praised God who had given such authority to men. The authority to heal the paralyzed man, or the authority to forgive sins. Healing is a wonder, but the greater moment is the reality of the forgiveness of sins, which is the mission of the Messiah. Jesus, through the lesser of the healings and the lesser of the raising of the dead, is showing the greater. Forgiveness of sins is real. And he is the one come to do that. Matthew 9 also tells the events of Jesus bringing that little girl who was dead back to life. Matthew 9 also recounts the healing of the blind and the mute. The blind man, two blind men calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Son of David is a messianic title. They're crying out, "Have mercy on us, Messiah." And they received their sight. Matthew has been showing these healings have been happening by recounting the events. Now in Matthew 11, the connection is being made to messianic prophecy. First to Isaiah 35, and then second to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3, verse 1. "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." Jesus points this out when John's disciples depart by turning to the crowd, speaking about John. "Why did you go into the wilderness to see him?" To see John. Jesus says this about John. Matthew 11, starting at verse 9. "Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus even says that John was the Elijah who was to come. Can you hear this? Can you take that in? Jesus makes this point by Matthew, saying in Matthew 11, starting at verse 14, "And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear." Will you be persuaded by these things such that faith will be born in you? inborn in you. We began with the lyrics of Herod wanting a show to be performed before his eyes. He had heard all about Jesus and what had happened. No faith was inborn. No, not enough. Do this before my eyes. But would before his eyes be enough? Nay, not enough. As we see with the Pharisees and Sadducees, for many a time they saw the signs, they saw the wonders, but couldn't hear the good news Jesus was proclaiming. From Matthew 16, beginning at verse 1, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking to show them a sign from heaven. Jesus replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus left them and went away. Oftentimes the cry raises, "Heal me! Heal me!" coming from lips wanting something to happen, desiring a miracle in this physical realm, without much thought of the spiritual realm. But the great cry of, "Have mercy! Forgive my sins!" is so much more. Signs and wonders are of this physical life that will pass away. The good news is more, much, much more. For the good news goes beyond, transcends this physical life into the evermore of eternal life. The gospel of Jesus Christ may bring about faith inborn that transforms a person's life in the here and now and into the forevermore of eternal life. The sign of Jonah was given. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, paying in full the redeeming price for the wages of sin. And on the third day, rising from the dead. The sign of Jonah was given. What are you going to do about it? On this third day, this third Sunday of Advent, be filled with hope. Be filled with peace. Be filled with joy. Even in the midst of aches and pains and the things of this mortal life, this physical mortal life. Hope, peace, joy are yours in abundance. For the greater need of your beggar's soul has already been fulfilled, which the good news, the gospel proclaimed. Forgiveness of sins through Christ's finished work on the cross. You have been redeemed by God's great compassion, mercy, and grace. Be filled with hope. Be filled with peace. Be filled with joy for forgiveness of sins of the gospel of Jesus Christ is yours and is inborn faith in you by grace. And you will live forevermore. Amen and amen.